Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have an open forum today. Folks have been asking for one. Well, now's your chance. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I promise I don't have anybody else on the show but me. So give us a call or email me, allsides@wosu.org. I guess the thing that's the top of my mind right now are those Christian militia. They're the Justice Department in an indictment against the nine folks. It was unsealed on Monday. It said they were part of a group of apocalyptic Christian militants who were plotting to kill law enforcement officers in hopes of inciting an anti-government uprising. They say it's the latest in a recent surge in right-wing militia activity. And I guess the question, and I've been seeing it on a lot of the chat rooms and that sort of thing, and a lot of the comments in the from the different newspapers I've been reading, the Washington Post, New York Times, of course, the Columbus Dispatch. Are they militia or are they terrorists? I'm wondering what you think about that. And then I'm wondering how much that sort of activity is spurred by the what has become sort of the daily dose of incivility regarding, in this case, the healthcare debate, the healthcare reform debate. Let me know what you think. 614-292-8513. And Rod, you're on the air. Welcome to All Sides.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, I heard mention that we're in a cold civil war. Basically, we've had cases, like with the Tea Party and the people that went to Washington to oppose the health care bill and the representatives that stood on the Capitol balcony egging them on. And with the, like I said, with the militias increasing in number and and there's been talk on the right wing radio. I heard. Rush Limbaugh said we have to get these, excuse my use of the word, bastards.
Mm-hmm.
But, Rush said that, and I kind of wonder.
Well, if Rush could say it, we can say it, I guess.
But. Okay, yeah. Okay. But at any rate, I kind of wonder, like I said, if progressives at some point, hopefully it won't become a hot civil war, they won't start shooting people or whatever, but, I just wonder, if progressives are going to have the moxie to stand up, for their rights and not allow these, not allow themselves to be bullied by these people on the right and far right to, to take away our rights.
I wonder how much some of this backfires, though, on folks who want to use that sort of bullying technique from either side. To force an issue, how much it backfires in the minds of Americans. Do you think the average American really buys that kind of behavior?
I would hope not, anyway. I haven't seen that much bullying from the left-hand side, outside of maybe some legislative tactics, which I didn't approve of, on the healthcare bill. But, like I said, I see a lot more of this coming from the right. And as you mentioned, they had the that militia arrested in Michigan.
Yeah. Good old. Well, a couple of them are in from that group are in Detroit. I mean, in Ohio as well.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, but Michigan's a big militia state and they're always there. I'm from Michigan and it's nothing new. But so they're saying, but there's an increase and that there was specific evidence, and of course we'll learn about all of that, I suppose, as things unravel, but that they were plotting to murder.
Yes. Also, ramping up of I've heard some people say that they haven't heard such rancor in Congress in years, use of the word baby killer, mm-hmm. when that one representative was trying to, explain his vote, and he was a pro, or he was a pro anti, or he was an anti-abortion Democrat.
Right, yeah, Stupak, right?
Stupak, mm-hmm. right? And like I said, somebody called him a baby killer, and I think it was a representative from Texas or whatever.
Right. He was saying he said in his explanation that he wasn't calling him a baby killer. He was saying that the bill, as it stood, would be a baby killer.
Yes, but then he went right out and used that in his campaign literature or whatever, you know, as and as fundraising literature. So I wonder how genuine that apology was.
Yeah, it is interesting how on both sides of the aisle, the rhetoric, the angry rhetoric, can also be used to as a fundraising tool.
Yes, that's true. You know,
so
you know, like I said, I wish they would both tone the rhetoric down. You know, try to be a little more civil to each other. But you know, right now it's kind of a forlorn hope, in my opinion.
Have you been to any of the demonstrations, Rod, and seen how people are at those? I haven't. I'm usually here in the studio. So.
I haven't. I almost went to the one that was down at, you know, I was going to be, I'm for the health care bill, and I almost went down to the one that was held at Representative Kilroy's office. Incidentally, I probably would have gotten into it with that one guy that insulted that gentleman with
Parkinson's
mm-hmm. disease. You know, fortunately, I wasn't there or whatever, you know. But I thought that was extremely rude, if not downright, you know, that was, you know, completely out of line anyway.
I thought it was interesting, the fellow that was throwing the dollar bills at Robert Letcher, the fellow with Parkinson's, said later in an apology in the Columbus Dispatch that he'll never, ever go to a protest like that again. I guess because he feels like he can't maybe control himself.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe he's better off not going to those kind of protests or whatever, you know. But, you know, also that one gentleman had said, and I don't think they got an apology from him, the one that says you're on the wrong side of town, you know, over here people work for a living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they've ever identified who he is, or at least we don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully they'll be able to, you know, like I said, clean up the rhetoric and maybe have a little more compassion for people and so forth, you know, and not, you know, try to at least talk to each other. But again, like I said, it's kind of a forlorn hope right now.
You know, I think it's the judging a book by its cover. We had Ken Rudin, NPR's political junkie, their political editor from National Public Radio, on a couple weeks ago. And I've only had him on three or four times. It's not like I'm an expert on Ken Rudin, but he seemed very despondent over mm-hmm. the tone in Congress. He's been covering it for many years and said he really has never seen it like this, and he didn't know if it was going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, at any
rate. Aren't you all cheered up, Rod? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, thank you for the time. And,
you
have a good day.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ed, you're on the air. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. But, Ed, you want to get back to that global warming issue, that climate change issue.
I do also, and the health care, too, with the debate. I mean, when one side has been using the rancorous rhetoric for years, the other side almost has no choice but to ratchet up their rhetoric as well. But the people that use that rhetoric then cannot morally, although they try to justify it, they can't morally stand aside and say, well, it's not my fault that these people acted the way they did. If you're going to spout hateful rhetoric, you have to take the consequences of the rhetoric that you spout. It's like yelling fire in a crowded theater. But as far as the global warming, I was very interested in the conversation you had the other week with former Senator John Warner.
Ah, yes.
And it was good to hear a conservative come at this with a rational, reasoned perspective, and the fact that he kind of, without really defining them, gave a split between a skeptic and a debunker. And in my mind, a skeptic is one who looks at the facts with a critical eye and is willing to change his mind once he's looked at the facts, and if the facts prove him wrong, he is going to change his mind. Whereas a debunker is one who starts out with a preconceived notion and is willing to fit the facts or make up the facts to support his own way of thinking rather than looking at it in a critical eye. And that's the problem we have with a lot of the, both on the healthcare and on the global warming, is that we have too many people out there that are debunkers. If you remember the death panel
mm-hmm.
Rhetoric. That was never in there. All it was end-of-life counseling. How would you want to choose to go out? Do you want the life-saving measures, which most doctors don't really talk to their patients about?
Nope.
And it's been then that rhetoric gets ratcheted up and ratcheted up, and all of a sudden you have people that are debunking the health care bill because death panels are in it. They weren't looking at it skeptically saying, is this really going to benefit people? They were looking at it, this will not benefit people, and I'm going to tell you why it's not going to benefit people, whether that's true or not.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Senator Warner, because he was on the show a couple weeks ago talking, and the purpose of his visit was to talk about the relationship between our national security and our dependence on foreign oil and fossil fuels in general. And Lonnie Thompson, the distinguished university professor at OSU, the glaciologist, brought that up as well. Just briefly, I didn't want to get into it at that point because we weren't really talking about that, but. I thought that what Senator Warner said was very interesting about our national security.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I believe we need to figure out a way to get away from that. I'm not sure nuclear is the way to go. I think we need to figure out a way to get rid of the waste before we do too much more, but we've had years and years and years to try to figure out a way to get rid of the waste, and so far they haven't.
Because nobody wants it.
Yeah, well, my personal theory is put in a rocket and fire it off at the sun, but then somebody will say, well, what if the rocket blows up? So, you know, you'll go round and round on that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are reasonable considerations and conciliations that can be made on both sides, but the rhetoric has been ratcheted up so much in the last 15 or 20 years that I hate to bring up the Civil War analogy, but it's getting to that point between the two sides that nobody is willing to look at the center and say, okay, I can make this little compromise here if you're willing to make this little compromise over here. And if it doesn't work, then we can look to change it later.
Yeah, Rod, actually, the caller before you was talking about that a little bit, about this kind of where are we headed with this incivility and this anger at each other?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to get done?
Yeah, and I don't see, you know, I kind of agree with Rich Cordray. I don't, you know, there's only a third of the attorneys general, all of one but which are Republican, are, you know, after the health care bill in the courts. And I don't see where that's going to change. We've had too many precedents set by the courts over the years, and some of them have not really been individual mandates per se, but for instance, the seatbelt law, well, we're not mandating that you have seatbelts, but if a state doesn't pass a law, you're not going to get the fund.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with lowering the limit on drunken driving. The state's not going to get the funds. There are all kinds of individual mandates that have been done with, well, if you want to call it subterfuge, I won't quibble. But I don't think these lawsuits are going to get anywhere, because I think especially this particular court is going to have to tie itself in knots, especially if they come down and says the Constitution says that you cannot flatly outlaw guns in a suburb. And put the federal over the state in that, then they're going to have to turn around and say, oh, no, wait, but in this case, the state trumps the federal.
Right.
I think they're going to have to tie themselves in knots to make that conclusion. So I don't think these lawsuits are going to go anywhere.
Yeah, just to remind people, it was in the paper today that Attorney General Richard Cordray announced that Ohio will not join the 15 other states that are suing to block the federal health care overhaul. Calling it a costly mandate and an infringement on the personal liberty. He announced that yesterday. The lawsuit was initiated by Florida's Republican Attorney General, and Cordray says it has no legal merit and would needlessly tie up the resources of his office. Lawsuits always cost a lot of money. Ed, we have to take a quick break right now. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Ann.
You bet. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an open forum today. Look forward to hearing from you on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Thanks for joining us this morning. For more than two decades, NPR's Morning Edition has prepared listeners for the day ahead with up-to-the-minute news, background analysis, commentary, and coverage of arts and sports. Get your morning update from one of the most respected news magazines in the world with Steve Inskeep, Renee Montaigne, and WOSU's Marilyn Smith. Every weekday from 5 to 9 on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
45 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today, a high right around 60. Clear skies tonight, a low of 38. More sunshine for Wednesday, a high of 68. And sunny and a high of 75 for Thursday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have a couple emails. Let's go to those now. An email from a listener. Replace the word Christian with the word Muslim, and no one would be asking the question of terrorist versus militia. They're terrorists, plain and simple. And then we have an email from Greg, writes, it seems to me that Congress and Americans in general are more interested in today's dynamics to find ways to disagree than ways to find common ground. We've become a country of angry, oppositional, and selfish people rather than a people who come together to solve our country's challenges. Thanks for those emails. If you'd like to give us one, allsides@wosu.org. And let's see. I'm trying to keep track of the orders here. Paul, you're on the air. You want to talk about a productive use of these militias. You're on the air. Hi, Paul.
Right. Well, you know, in the state of Ohio, the militia is generally designated as the National Guard. But when you've got a lot of your National Guard personnel someplace in the Middle East fighting another war, you have a power vacuum here at home. I should say a protective vacuum here at home. And I can't help but wonder if maybe some of these militias, even though they seem to be at the far right, couldn't be approached and say, look, we have a genuine need for you guys, and we need it to put together in a productive way. And since you've been training yourselves, and you seem to be doing it the right way, and you use firearm safety the right way, here's what we have for you. And they could be used to protect power plants, electrical grids, whatever, and redirect their energies in a little different direction. And I don't believe by any means that somebody running around with a rifle that isn't controlled or isn't disciplined in some way is the way to go about it. But I can't believe without approaching these people with the right application, they couldn't be, their energies couldn't be directed in a little bit more productive use, well, to help defend our country.
You know, that's interesting, Paul. For your garden variety militia member, I guess I'm saying that, meaning that they're not driven by anything extremely ideological. They're just believing the ability or the right to be armed and the right to protect themselves. But when you're talking about the folks like we're talking about today, these are fanatics. They're apocalyptic fanatics. Do you really necessarily think you can harness that energy?
Yes, it can be. Can be harnessed, and I'll give you a good example. But, you know, the Viet Cong and Vietnam were very, very, very effective against our well-organized military. And some people can call them fanatics, but the point of it is they believed in what they believe in. Now, I'm not, again, the semantics of it, calling them a fanatic, whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe sit down and give them a voice and let them be heard and say, what is it you really want to do? What is it you really feel that it's threatened by? And you might find some place to put that to use. Now, we know who they are. We've got pictures of them. We can go get them anytime we want them. I don't think they're hiding from anybody. So the issue is to say, look, guys and gals, you know, and they do have a leadership hierarchy there. Find out where their interests are, find out what their issues are, and see if they'd be willing to really help the bigger picture as a right way of doing things. Am I a bit of an idealistic person? Absolutely. I think we have to be. But considering the defense posture that we've got in this country with the war in Afghanistan going on and a lot of our military leaders out of the country, mm-hmm. and again, we've got a lot of infrastructure here that could use some protection. Again, it might be worth talking to these people about it. You can call them to the left, to the right, you can call them whatever you want. But they obviously have some type of a structure there that might be brought to use the right way. And in a voluntary situation, you never know until you sit down and talk with them. I don't think that throwing them in jail necessarily is the right way to do it.
Well, unless they've been plotting to murder police officers.
Yeah, and then you need to figure out, you know, what the hell is going on with these guys, excuse my French.
Mm-hmm.
But, Timothy McVeigh was way, way out there. And yet there was a bright young man that probably could have been put to some use in the right direction. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I believe in what he did.
Right.
But
Well, a lot of criminals, they say, they put as much energy into doing right and then as they do to doing
exactly.
wrong. They could actually be quite successful people.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think we possibly talking with the leadership of these groups and saying, hey, look, how can you help us? Here's what we have the need to do. Could you not help us?
Okay.
You might find some very positive direction. I could be wrong, but I
yeah.
think it's worth it.
Sometimes you just want to belong. Paul, thanks for your call.
Let's go. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Okay. And Jerry, you've been waiting. I wanted to figure out what you wanted to talk about. And you want to talk about climate change, but in terms of even if there is no climate change, we need to conserve.
Right. Okay. Good morning, Ms.
Good
Fisher.
Morning.
Beautiful day.
I wouldn't know. I've been in the studio. I've heard.
Let me say it's nice to listen to a talk show where reason and intelligence are being put forth.
Thank you, Jerry.
With your callers and you. But I wanted to mention my Uncle Willie, born in 1874, ran logs down the river. It was a river hog in the 1890s. He told me when I was a young man that there were people that, and by the way, they clear-cut all the timber.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were people then, he said he'd call them conservationists, that tried to tell the lumber barons that, hey, you can't clear-cut this and not replace it. And they just laughed and said, we got enough pine to last 1,000 years. And by the turn of the last century, and I'm talking 1900 into the 20th century, it was pretty much gone. I can take you up there today, Ms. Fisher, and drive mile after mile, all you see is scrub oak and
mm-hmm.
and stunted pine, and it's a shame. But what I wanted to tie it into going green, I don't know if you caught Ed Begley Jr., if you know what Ed Begley Jr. has been doing.
I've had him on the program before.
Wonderful. I missed it.
There
well,
you go.
I missed
That'll
a lot
teach
of,
you.
When you get my age.
No. Don't give me that.
Okay. Well, anyway, we would be further ahead, as Ed Begley Jr. says, if we went green, even if there isn't any global warming or climate change. That's the whole issue. And we don't know what the production of automobiles in China and in India, two countries with over, 2 billion people, but among them well over 2 billion people, what that is going to do to the CO2 in the atmosphere. And the thing is, we don't know because we haven't experienced this before. And all these, and like I tell my 85-year-old brother, I said, Bob, I'm neither a climatologist, glaciologist, or meteorologist, but neither are Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, or Sean Hannity, or Glenn Beck. And as one of your previous callers pointed out, that's what the people get. They get opinions not based on facts. And that is what people need today. By the way, I don't know if you remember that line. I like James Thurber's little essays where he would. One thing was they said, well, he uses reason and intelligence. And the answer was, well, reason is 6/7 of treason, and intelligence is what the enemy uses. I can't remember the title. That might have been The Peaceful Mongoose, but I've been a great Thurber fan. But anyway.
Well, you're kind of just saying better safe than sorry. What's the harm in being greener?
Well, no harm at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the point I brought out before, that in 1896, Thomas Edison told Henry Ford, said, young man, you've got to go electric. And all of this stuff, by the way, the whole thing in Afghanistan is the pipeline across Afghanistan. I wish you'd get, maybe you've had somebody on about that. But at any rate,
and Georgia, and when they started to invade Georgia a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah, it's all, at any rate, I do enjoy all of your erudite young talkers. They're young to me, Ms. Fisher. Have a great day.
Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for listening.
Welcome.
Kelly, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ann, what's happening?
Not much. Tell us what's happening with you.
Oh, not too much. Quick comment with regard to Sarah Palin. You know, as a socially left-leaning independent, I find myself more and more thankful for her every day. it just seems to a greater degree more and more that she essentially just fans the flames for the lowest common denominator. And I don't know if it seems this way to you, but it seems concurrently the most vocal right-leaning folks seem to largely be the most ill-informed. You know, just a lot of shouting.
Well, I think the vocal's the key word there, no matter what. The more vocal people are, the more you know about what they think and what they know.
Yeah, but it's interesting every now and then when a microphone is put in front of the mouths of, you know, any of those minions, you know. In fact, just again, I mean, I see it over and over. At the Searchlight rally over the weekend, someone asked a woman, "Why are you here?" And, of course, she says, "Well, I'm here to see Sarah Palin. I just love her." And I thought, oh, please ask, quote, unquote, the question.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, the reporter said, "Well, what do you love about her?"
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Well, you know, she's just a great American, and she's patriotic, and, you know, Sarah Palin could read the phone book, and these people would go crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, there's been people like Sarah Palin before. There's, as far as they just appeal, they're charismatic. People just like them.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, actually, sometimes I find myself thinking, oh, my God. These are like grown adults, and they'll respond to anything. Like, don't people want to, you know, you have the internet, 24-hour news. I mean, I'm kind of shocked that people just don't seem to be as up on the issues, you know? I mean, you know, don't get out of the way with the big government and healthcare and stuff. Oh, but by the way, don't you touch my Medicare, you know. Well, duh.
Yeah, there's
that. That's who runs Medicare and Medicaid, you know. I'm just saying little things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah,
been a pleasure.
Thanks for calling.
I'm going to go get some coffee now.
Oh, no.
I'll be talking to you.
Make me thirsty. Okay, Kelly, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Let's see. David, you're on the air. If anyone else wants to give us a call, go to 614-292-8513. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Great. Hey, listen. I think that these guys that are this militia thing, I think they are terrorists. And I think that what they're going to do is, you know, I always found that trouble don't just stay in one little neighborhood. Okay? It'll soon start spreading and spreading, and pretty soon you're going to have a major concern. Just, you know, trying to talk to some people that's got their mind already made up
mm-hmm.
is kind of like talking to the terrorists in Iraq and Iran and what have you. They've already got their mind made up that that's what they're going to do, just like they did in Russia.
So what do you do? Do you just try to spread?
No, you take them and you put them in jail.
Well,
you put them in jail. Period.
Well, that's like
they are terrorists.
But they can think whatever they want. You can't.
Well, thinking is one thing, but when you start lining up people with M16s and all kinds of automatic weapons and Uzis, now you got a problem on your hands.
Yeah, but there's no law against that either.
Okay, there ain't no law, but I tell you what, sooner or later it's gonna come to a head, and all the eye shooters and F-Ida and water cooters ain't going to do you a bit of good, okay?
Okay?
All you do is have a mess on your hands. It's better to nip it in the bud now. Let me show you something.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever thought that cocaine and drugs would stay in the inner city. Now look at it. Cocaine, drugs, not only left the inner city, but they're in Dublin, they're in Delaware, they're in Worthington,
mm-hmm.
they're in every major area in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often say sin don't stay in the same neighborhood. So it has gone from one side. There's not a city in this state that you can't go to that doesn't have a drug problem. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
All right.
All right. Now mark my word. Okay. It's going to come.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're scaring me, David. Thanks for your call, though. 614-292-8513, or give us an email at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Jason. Why is Israel being disrespectful to America? Without America, there would be no Israel. I don't know about that, David, Jason, but I do know that it was strange timing on the part of Israel to announce that they were expanding their developments when the vice president was there a few weeks ago. It was an interesting timing, if nothing else. Let's see now. Bill, I want to get to Bill next. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. Hi, Bill. You want to talk about Israel as well?
Oh, you mean about the Middle East?
Yeah, about the old Middle East. Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi. I called, but before I start on my topic, I was curious. This is how frequently are the open forums going to be, what shall I say, available? I noticed sometime back in the old days, by your standards, I think there was typically once or twice a week.
No, I probably won't do that. I like to stick to, you know, what's happening and what are current events, and try to stay on top of that stuff as much as possible. And one or two open forums a week just wouldn't get us there. But I think I may start doing maybe one a month.
You don't want to go overboard.
You know, sometimes.
Anyway, I'll go ahead.
What, Bill? Before you get started, I'm going to put you back on hold because we have to take a quick break. Okay.
And then
I won't have to interrupt you in the middle of your thought.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be right back with Bill. Oops, Bill, I just dropped you. I don't know why I do that. So give us a call back, Bill, right away. I'll take your call right away. As soon as we return from our break on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, journalist Roxana Subiri talks about her imprisonment in Iran, where she was accused of spying for the CIA. In the hope of getting released, she made a false confession. Soon after, in the hope of being able to live with herself, she recanted. After international calls for her release, her sentence was suspended. She's written a new memoir. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins at noon in just about 20 minutes right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Get the latest information from WOSU the way you want it, daily, biweekly, or monthly. Just go to wosu.org/email and sign up for one of our e-newsletters. And remember, you can hear more from WOSU anytime at our website. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archived shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at wosu.org/allsides. 45 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today, a high near 60. Clear skies tonight, a low of 38. More sunshine for tomorrow with a high near 70 degrees. And looking ahead to Thursday, more sunshine for Thursday and a high near 75. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're having an open forum today. I got a whole bunch of people waiting to call, so I'll get back to Bill. I did cut him off. And, Bill, you know, we got a lot of people waiting to talk, so what do you want to talk about?
Okay, back again.
About that.
About a week ago, there's an article in Dispatch about UN Chief Ban Ki-moon, I guess it's pronounced. Anyway, Ban, they call him for short, was criticizing Israel for building settlements, and they had just at that time announced.
Right, when
1,600 new settlements in East Jerusalem.
East Jerusalem, when Biden was there, when Vice President Biden was there.
Or even before. But in any event, you got about right, sure. His comment was, it doesn't matter what part of the occupied Palestine that these settlements are in, they're being built during an illegal occupation. And what they're doing is basically illegal by UN standards, and I believe the General Assembly has endorsed that point of view after the World Court made a judgment. But also, the thing that what I'm seeing is lack of numbers, and thought maybe you could throw some light on that. In the next paragraph talks about a Palestinian boy being killed in a clash with Israeli troops. So my question is, I don't see anything that would would be similar in our in the news I'm looking at. That would be similar to what we do with our troops in, say, Afghanistan and Iraq. There's some sort of a tally, running tally, that, and then a yearly total, if I occasionally see, but I don't see anything about how many Palestinians are being killed during this Israeli occupation. Do you see any? Do you normally look someplace to find that number?
I don't look for that number, and usually I think the reasons why at least the dispatch posts the numbers of dead, and it's only U.S.
Right.
Is because we are in these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I don't know. I mean, heaven only knows what that number is, Bill.
Well,
It's been going on for a long time.
I just don't know where to look.
Okay.
Then they're going on to the next one. The foreign aid going into Israel, basically, we're paying for a lot of this. And I'd understood or see people commenting on it. I don't see any numbers because I don't know where to look. But between $3 and $5 billion a year, we're sending to Israel, and presumably we're essentially paying for some of these gyrations. Is the three or the five the closest to reality as far as what you're seeing?
That I don't know, Bill. But
okay,
we can.
These are basic numbers that I'm not seeing either. And the last one, there isn't during in the occupied areas of Palestine, they are building these Jewish settlements, which has been in the news, for years. And the last time I saw some numbers by somebody listing the area that was had been converted, what they call Jewish control, I think B'Tselem did this, and you span it with time. They were the expansion was about 2.5 square miles per month. And to put that in context, we've got a suburb called Worthington, which everybody kind of picture in their mind. At the rate of expansion like that, Worthington would be gone in 3 months. That's how fast it is. Fortunately, there's thousands of square miles over there, so it's not going away overnight, but it's definitely moving in that direction. Have you seen anything on the expansion rate as a result of the Obama administration, since the Obama administration came in?
Well, I all I've heard is it hasn't slowed down.
Okay, so it still could be about 3 and 2.5 square miles a month?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but I'm not sure about that number, but my sense is that it has not slowed down.
That's the feeling I have, but again, I just thought being a news guru, might know where to look.
Well, I've got a lot of stuff open in front of me right now, but that's not one of them. But knowing where to look, that we can work on that, Bill, and get back with you.
Take care.
Okay, Bill, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Let's see, news guru. Foyo?
Yeah.
Is that how I pronounce your name?
Yeah, you got it.
Foyo. Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is my second time calling. I want to thank you guys for the insight and the good jobs you guys are doing.
Thank you.
My comment is, I came from Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, the government that was in power was just a single type of government. And people said, if we do not revolt against the system, things are not going to get better. And eventually, we end up doing that. And we had one of the most bloody civil war the last century. So what I'm seeing here with the Tea Party protests and all that is going to lead to that someday, and we cannot come back from that.
You're worried about that?
Correct.
Was it the same sort of dynamic?
Yeah, it was the same sort of dynamic because people were, not everybody, but most people were dissatisfied with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they started saying, if we do not pick up arms, things are not going to get better. But when we eventually did, it got worse than it originally was, so that kind of get me scared. So, cause since we came over here to run away from all that, and the same thing I ran away from is kind of re-implementing itself where I came to seek refuge, is kind of get me worried for a bit.
Is there anything about our political structure, though, that might safeguard against something like that, or you're not feeling very safe, I take it, right now?
Because since we have the First Amendment and things that will provide ways for people to voice their anger without doing nothing to that, I don't think the system can protect us from that. Unless when it happens, then there are going to be measures to put stop to all what is happening now. But for now, everybody's referring to the First Amendment, that's just the First Amendment, right? They have the right to protest and all that. But when things happen, then I guess the First Amendment is going to be put in the corner and probably revised to make sure things that never happen again.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you. I'm a little bit nervous, so you may forgive me.
Pardon me, what?
I said I'm a little bit nervous, so you may forgive me. So.
No, I know. I think that you're what you're saying, and then let me just rephrase it. If we abuse that right, we could lose it.
We can lose it.
There's no guarantee in the big picture that we'll always have the right to protest if we go too far.
Yeah.
Am I right about that, what you're saying?
You're right, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for sharing your experience with us.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Dale has been waiting. Dale, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to sum up basically from an overview. But first of all, there's a word I've been hearing recently that's called disrespect or lack of civility.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest men from Ohio and the U.S. was that I had a chance to meet when I was in elementary school at a dedication groundbreaking to a recreation center, which John Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when he decided not to run, the one reason that he decided not to was, and this is a quote, "There is no civility." Well, it's only gotten worse. And from a broader perspective, we've always had North and South, rich and poor, black and white, east and west, you know, religion against religion. There's always been these oppositions. I think that the globalization, the mass communication of the planet becoming smaller, has created what, from unless I'm mistaken, from a quantum physics standpoint, what is it called? It's where the past, the present, and the future all end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, and I don't want to bum you out, but sadly, humans don't do that type of thing very well. They don't know how to react. They can plan for this or that, but they can't plan for that, and they don't know how to do it. And I think everybody's really nervous with this unspoken, ununderstood feeling right now. And it's all, you know, mass communication, and you can hear everything now, and the loud noises of the past have become white noise of the present.
Well, and not only that, but you can pick which noise you want to hear. You're not... You know.
And there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there. The choices are many, many, many. Sadly, I think it's going to take a rather dramatic event to pull us out of this paradigm shift. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And again, humans don't do paradigm shifts very well. And basically, as a comment about Barack Obama, I'm going to go out on a limb, and there are people who are not going to like this. I wrote him a letter, and I got one back. But it was basically a pep talk, and I pretty much laid out what he has faced so far and how he needs to be strong. I think that there are certain times in history where certain people are exactly in the right place at the right time, at the right moment, for the right reason. And, you know, the right's not going to like this, but there is no one else I could possibly imagine in the position he's in than him. And I guarantee, it's not going to be easy, but I guarantee whatever he does, whatever fight it takes to get it done, he's going to do exactly the right thing. I just believe that 100%.
All right, sorry, Dale. Well, let's see if anybody else agrees with you out there. And thanks for your call.
Sure.
Take care.
Okay.
Let's see now. 614-292-8513. We've got about a little over 9 minutes left. And, Paul, you've been waiting the longest, so welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Paul.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good,
big,
thanks.
Big supporter, Ann.
Thank you.
I would.
Of me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm
or healthcare.
I scarcely support myself,
okay.
But I'm a supporter of you.
Okay.
I would sort of disagree with your previous statement about open forum. I think open forum is a really not twice a week. That invites the nut jobs like me and Bill and Jerry. Yeah, but
now
no.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
those are some of my loyalist listeners.
Yeah, well, I am too. It's just that you haven't had an open forum for some time.
No.
So, okay, and I'm just throwing my 2 cents worth in on that.
Okay.
That I think that's a useful. I know it, at times it became contentious with Fred's show, but. I think it's a good community ventilation process. Now, you might want to think of it in that terms. Okay, I know you got other people waiting.
Okay, no, that's okay. I mean, I think it's a good question to have, and I understand that, and I don't disagree with you. I think that you don't want it so that people turn off the radio because there's somebody, for lack of a better phrase, ranting and raving.
Yeah.
So what I'll try to do when I do the open forums, and it's not that Fred didn't do this. Unfortunately, I didn't get to hear a lot of his, except I remember, the famous figures from the former open forums. I know about them, and I've heard them.
We won't say Dave. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
But Paul. Anyhow, my point is that that's just a heads up in terms of my experience, and I certainly have heard many open forums previously. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to be brief because there's other people waiting. Healthcare, I do not understand people of any stripe, I don't care, race or creed or party, who just consistently seem to be voting against their own interests and abusing folks, whether they're political figures or just commentators or what have you, that just people do not understand. You get hit by a car and you don't have insurance. Well, pie in the sky America. Well, geez, you're going to get, $2 million. Maybe 6 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. No, I mean, it just takes one trip to a hospital for some totally unpredictable whatever. Geez, if your appendix ruptures in the night and you don't have insurance, suddenly, fine, somebody took care of you, and now you have bills that are like $8,000.
Funny times when that's been brought up before, people either write an email or I'll hear from them afterwards, or they'll call and they'll say, well, you go to the hospital, they have to treat you. They have to take care of you because that's what they do, and then they can bill you and you just don't pay them.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of personal history. I'm mm-hmm. just saying, yes, they have to stabilize you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word you might want to look up. Stabilize you. Okay.
Doesn't mean cure is what you're saying.
I'm just saying mm-hmm. they don't, they just have to make sure that they, that you're not actually going to, anyway, go out in the next 10 minutes. But in fairness, I mean, I think the physicians and the PAs, the nurses, the EMTs, I think they do a fabulous job. But the system itself is really, really very badly broken. And I try to picture people who are throwing dollar bills or yelling about this, that, and the other. And then it's, I'm sorry, then your mother gets sick and her husband had died and he didn't, continue the insurance. And, what do you do? Sell the farm?
Well, it's interesting. I'm going to let you go, Paul, because we have other people.
Right,
but I one time when I was a Cub reporter at the Michigan State News at Michigan State, I was writing a story about their big communications building, and it was considered the most accessible building in the country at the time. And I said, well, why do you have to have the most accessible building? Not that many people need accessibility. And they said, you could walk across the street right now and get hit by a truck and paralyzed from the, the whatever, the waist down or the neck down or whatever, and you'd appreciate having an accessible building then.
Thank
it could
you.
Happen to anybody. And I think is that the point you're making?
That's kind
okay.
of the point I'm
okay.
making.
Okay. All
See
right,
you.
Paul.
Bye.
Thanks. We are running out of time, so I'm going to try to rush through a few. Carol, you're on the air. We just have a few minutes and a whole bunch of people waiting, though. But
yeah, this is Carol. I wanted to call and thank you for doing the Wild Show last, the Wild Planting Show on Friday. I tried to get in.
Yeah, well,
call you.
Yeah, that was a repeat, but we will do it again. And so
I wondered if it was because I missed parts of it.
Yeah.
And I thought the same people call. Why are the same people calling about poison ivy at the end? And I remember that crack you made. Are we talking about wild?
No, I thought about that. I thought we could have a whole show just about poison ivy, treatments.
Well, that was the other thing. I used to live in Wisconsin, and they used to do like 2 hours in the morning from 9 to 11 mm-hmm. of, well, maybe it was 7 to, of like which, the way you do your show now, which I enjoy. But in the afternoons they had – they had gardeners on, they had the animal behaviorists and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and they were full. And I think this time of year especially, there's a lot of gardening questions to be asked. And, They used to do it, but they stopped. I'm sure they cut the money because of funding and stuff. But
I love gardening too, and we're gonna have Deborah Knapke on last week as well, and we're gonna have her on again in May, at the beginning of May, at the very first week of May, the first planting week. So we'll do that. And
there's a lot of questions.
A lot of stuff.
This time of year.
A lot of stuff.
And thanks a lot anyway, and we keep trying. You know,
okay.
That's it.
Oh, do Carol. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Let's see. I'm sorry, we're running short of time, and I'm trying to figure out who's next, and that would be Russell. You're on the air. Thanks for calling. Just about a minute.
How you doing? This
Good.
Is Russell.
Hi.
Am I the one? I'm the lucky one, right?
You're the next in line, but we are running out of time. So.
I could probably do a whole show. I don't know what to do other than I think that...
you have 1 minute.
I'll be fast, okay. And I appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. I listen to you for all my news pretty much. I don't know why. That's the way I've been doing it.
That would be WOSU 820, right?
Yes, okay. Definitely. I listen to you every morning on the way to work and on the way home, so I don't know what's going on, but I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I just think that the Republicans are being very, actually, poor sportsmanship, if that makes any sense, and they're trying to cause a lot of conflict. And I'm not really a party voter, but I just don't understand why they're being so, I don't even know what to say. Because I guess it stems back to, you know, all the things that Bush did, and then obviously, you know, Obama's inheriting and all the blame, and they don't seem to think of any mistakes that Bush has done because he's Republican. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'll take my answer off the air, but good luck and thank you for everything.
I wish I hadn't answered all of that. And I'm not sure it's necessarily Republicans per se. I'm not always sure that it's that. I think that the party definition kind of goes out the door when people become angry.
Yeah, they're poor sports. It's like, you know, they lost fair and square. You know, take it like a man. And move on, and, you know, let's try to do what's right for the people instead of what's right for, you know, your party getting reelected because you're trying to make the Democrats look bad. And, again, I'm not a party voter, and I think people that are missing the boat. I think you should do what's right for you and your people and your country and forget about the party. Who cares if they come up on an elephant or a donkey? It don't make any sense. And I guess I'm just getting frustrated. You know, as you get older, I think that's the way it happens.
Oh, Russell, you sound like you're still a spring chicken.
Oh, my gosh. So, 46.
Okay. Oh, you are a spring chicken. Okay, that's it. Enough from you. Talk to you later.
It.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. We are running out of time, so I just want to give the next in line. And, Richard, you have to tell us what the appeal of Sarah Palin is in 20 seconds.
Well, I haven't heard a cogent thought yet on your program. I've been holding for 20 minutes.
Well, I've got people that are holding, you know, just
well,
as long.
Okay. I'll try to get it through this.
You got 15 seconds.
The reason people are frustrated is because they're not being listened to.
Okay.
Sarah Palin is being maligned in the press. They've tried to demonize her ever since she came on. And, you know, you had a gentleman earlier said that every, you know, the people that are protesting should be put in jail. It was the left that's been protesting for years, and the right's finally just catching up. I mean,
okay.
we're way behind on it. Actually.
Okay. All righty. Well, we'll talk again later. Thanks, Richard, for your call. Sorry to everybody whose calls I could not get to. Also, the Facebook comments and the email from Jody. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.